thank you again, Pastor Moore, for having us. And thank you for the opportunity to preach and to speak about God's Word. Would you go with me in the Word of God, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 2. Honestly, I've never messaged quite like this. And as I was praying, I was like, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure this is what you want? And I've no doubt in my mind that this is exactly what God wants. So for the next few moments, we'll be looking together. But first, Ephesians chapter 2. We have to establish something before we get into this. Ephesians chapter 2, I hope this is scripture that you're familiar with, but if not, let's read it together. Let's look at Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And notice verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As we have just read this, we learn many things about God, including how merciful he is. And what a wonderful thing that God has extended his mercy to us. He has kept us. He has saved us from what we deserve. And what we deserve is hell. But we learn something in verse 8 and 9. That we are saved by the grace of God, and we are saved through faith in Christ. And in verse 9, we learn that it's not of our works. It's nothing that we can do. And so I'd like to begin right here, because I never want to take for granted anywhere that we travel that the people that we're speaking with just automatically know Christ. I never want to assume that. And perhaps you're here, and maybe you have tried to do it in your own works. And you have tried to come to God your own way. But Jesus tells us, John 14:6, what did he say? He said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth and I am the life. So there's no other way apart from Christ. But, so maybe that's you this morning. You've never placed your faith in Christ. You've never repented of your sins. You've never turned from your sin, and you've never turned to Christ. You've never placed your faith in him. Can I tell you very simply that today can be that day? Amen. Right now can be that moment. Why wait any longer? God doesn't desire for you to wait. He says now is the day of salvation. But I'd like to speak about something for just a few moments. You see, as Christians, we know these things to be true. As believers in Christ, we know that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. But we stop right there. And we forget verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Christian life begins at faith in Christ. But there's so much more that God has in the life of a believer than just that's it. We know that Christ died once, In fact, Hebrews 10:28 tells us Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. We only place our faith in Christ for salvation once, not many times. So that's not what I'm saying here, but what I am saying is I want to ask this question. You may have been saved by grace through faith, but are you living by grace through faith? And this pattern of living by the grace of God through faith in Christ is repeated throughout the Word of God. And so for a few moments, I ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 6. And I'd like to project that onto the life of someone by the name of Noah. And so Genesis chapter 6, we find the account of Noah. And Noah was someone that we have a lot in common with. Jesus told us in Matthew 24 and verse 37, he said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." In other words, the closer we get to Christ's return, the more similar it's going to be to the days of Noah.
Right. Right.
And so that's what we're going to look at for just a few moments. We've been saved by grace through faith, but are we living by grace through faith? Look with me at the life of Noah, beginning in Genesis 6, verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me through them." "For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." Would you pray with me for just a moment? Father, I never ever want to come to your house and approach your word and assume, Lord, that you're just, Lord, that we're deserving of any of this, that I'm deserving of any of this, that I'm deserving to hear from you. But God, I know this. I know I need to hear from you. Lord, there's not a person in this room that doesn't need to hear from God. Lord, thank you for your word and for how it speaks to us. Lord, I pray that you would remove me out of the way so that Christ can be seen and meet with us. Thank you for this pastor and for this church. Thank you for the work that you're doing here. Lord, would you please meet with us? Not because we're worthy of it, but because you're worthy of it. In Christ's name I pray. Are you living by grace through faith? If we ask Noah this, he can confidently answer yes. It gives me the picture of this. In Tennessee, we have a camp in Tennessee, right there at the college, a camp property, so they have summer camp. Well, someone has to keep the grounds through the off season, through the semester, through the fall and through the winter. And so that's what I was hired to do for a couple of years. And we would go out and we would cut the weeds down, we would mow, we would do all these things. And we go out and work as hard as we can. And so often, the man that I was working for would have to say, "Danny, did you weed eat around the shop?" And so often I would have forgotten to mow and to cut around the place where I first started. Because I would go out, I would get everything done, and I would totally neglect where I began. And how so is it in our Christian life so often Yes, we're saved by grace through faith. We strike out on this life, this pursuit of Christ, this relationship that we have with God, and we forget where we began. We neglect where we began. Noah was a man, we learn here in verse 9, he walked with God. And so very simply, just a couple of things for just the next few minutes. The first one is this. Noah lived by the grace of God. In spite of the evil day that he lived in, he lived by the grace of God. So you know what that tells us is this. If Noah in his day could live by the grace of God, so can we.
Amen.
For two reasons. We may live in an evil day just like Noah did. And we do. And as we read those things, corrupt, evil, violent, sounds a lot like our day, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like our society. Sounds a lot like our country and our world. But we know this, we serve the very same God that Noah did.
Amen.
And so because we know that, we serve the same God, we know that the same grace of God is accessible to you. And so Noah was someone who lived by grace. Verse 5 again in Genesis 6, we know that the wickedness of man was great. But it says that God saw that. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great. And then we come down to verse 8, and it says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21 tells us that the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. God's eyes see all these things.
Right.
God's eyes were watching that day. Ever how evil it was. I'd imagine as someone who had faith in God, Noah probably became discouraged in his day. As do we. We look around and it's wicked and it's evil and we think, Lord, well, God is watching. God's eyes. We assume that God's eyes are the same as ours, don't we? I know I have, but they're not. Hopefully, tonight, you'll close your eyes and go to sleep. God's eyes don't do that. One day our eyes will close in death. God's eyes don't do that. We can only focus at one thing at a time. God's eyes are not that way. He sees all. We learned in Sunday school this morning. He sees all at once, all the time.
Right.
And so the evil day that we live in, that you and I live in, we can be confident of one thing, God is watching. But Noah did something. In verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Right.
Noah was someone who lived by grace, but how did he find access to this grace? In the eyes of the Lord. And so, here's something that is kind of humorous to me, because God was watching Noah's neighbor just as well as he was watching Noah. We just learned from Proverbs that God's eyes are beholding it all. What was the difference that was made? It was made because as God was seeing all this, there was one man who looked back to God, and it was Noah. Now I wonder, is that you? As God is looking down in this room, are you looking back to him? When is the last time that you look back into the eyes of your Creator? He's always watching. And what a joy it would be to make eye contact with your Creator. And how do we do that? Through His Word.
Right. Amen.
Noah was someone who lived by grace. What is grace? Why was it grace specifically that Noah found in the eyes of the Lord? Grace is favor given to someone who's inferior. Unmerited favor given to somebody who is less than. And aren't we all less than?
Right.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what has God given us? He's given us His grace. Would you go to Romans chapter 5 and look there with me? And let's see, how is it Noah looked in the eyes of the Lord? God has made a way for us to access His grace. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're so undeserving. I am so undeserving of what God has given me. I deserve nothing but hell. That's what I deserve. That's what I earned. That's what I have merited. The very best I could do merited me hell. And God saw us. And what did he do? He made a way for us through Christ. But are we people who live by the grace of God? God's grace, it's interesting because as Christians, a lot of times we say, Lord, we go through a hard time. Lord, I need your grace. I need your strength. As if it's some kind of pill, some kind of medicine to make us feel better. That's not what God's grace is. That's not why God gives us his grace. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? In 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul, he speaks about how he had a thorn in the flesh, and he asked God to take it away three times. And God said no. And instead, God said, what? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. We look at grace as a way out of the difficulty, as a way to make things easier. But it's so much more than that. It's a way to get through those things. And so when Noah looked in the eyes of the Lord and God in return gave him his grace, Noah had no idea what was coming. He had no idea. Noah looking to the Lord, he wasn't doing it because he knew a great catastrophe was just around the corner. Noah walked with God, and God gave him his grace, and what was just around the corner, God said, I'm going to destroy the earth. We don't know what's around. Look, I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, let alone the next 5 seconds of my life. And so I'm not going to waste any time looking to anything. Noah could have looked to the circumstances that he was in. He could have looked at the evil day, at the wickedness of man. But what did he do? He looked one place. So I'm not going to waste my time looking everywhere else. I'm not going to waste my time looking. People say, you have the answer within yourself. No, you don't. Our hearts are evil and desperately wicked, the Bible tells us. And so we say, oh, well, I'll look to somebody else. They're good enough. No, they're not. They're just as wicked as you are. There's one place we have to look to, and it's Christ.
Amen.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then, secondly, Noah lived by faith in God. Back in Genesis chapter 6, in verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, we read this, and we got the bird's eye view, but imagine that you are Noah, and God says, all right, I'm going to destroy the earth. You have to build this ark. Here's how you're going to do it. That's it. That's a little overwhelming. I mean, really, think about it. I'm going to destroy mankind, Noah, but you're going to build an ark, and you're going to live. That's why God's grace was required, but now something else was required, and it was faith.
Right.
Faith was now required. You know, I studied Genesis chapter 6 and 7 and 8, and growing up hearing the story of Noah, I always assumed that when God told Noah that he was going to destroy the earth, that he told him, it's going to rain. Build the ark. Did you know you can... I would take the time and read it with you. We don't have time for that. Did you know God did not tell Noah that it was going to rain until after he obeyed and built the ark.
Look at Genesis 6 and verse 22.
God gives all the instructions, and then verse 22 of Genesis 6, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." God said that he would destroy the earth with water, but he never mentioned rain until after Noah had obeyed him. It wasn't a detail that God let him know about until after he stepped out by faith and obedience to do what God had given him to do. We like to know all the details right up front. The Lord says, "You're going to do this, okay? Well, how are we going to do that?" And then we'll step out. Wait a minute. We're saved by grace through faith. We placed our faith in Christ. Is that how we live? Or have we abandoned that faith? You say, "Well, I don't have the faith of Noah. I don't have some kind of great faith." You remember what Jesus said in Matthew? He said in Matthew 17, verse 20, "If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." That's what a little faith will do. Not a lot. That's what a little faith will do. Just a little bit. Our problem is not a lack of faith. Our problem is a lack of obedience. We don't want to step out. "Oh, Lord, I can't do that. I can't tell that person about Christ. That'll make them uncomfortable. That'll inconvenience their day. I can't do that. Lord, I can't go there. I can't obey you in that way. Lord, I can't leave my home and go plant a church thousands of miles from where all I've known is. Lord, I can't." No. Obey. Obey, and God gives more faith. Increase. We ask for increased faith to be able to obey. The increasing of faith doesn't come until after we step out with that little bit of faith. Do you remember Peter when he stepped out on the water? Imagine how his faith was increased after Christ picked him up, after he started to sing. We wait and we expect that God has to give us all the details. I don't know what the work is that God has given you to do, but I do know this, it requires faith. In fact, it's more specific than that. The work is faith. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 29, he said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." In other words, this is the work of God. You believe on Christ whom the Father hath sent. That is the work. The work is faith. It's a trusting, it's a reliance, it's a resting in on God. We overcomplicate it so much. Pastor Sexton said one time, this statement impacted my life tremendously. He said, "If it can't be done by faith, then it can't be done in a way that pleases God." Because Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please him. You were saved by faith, but are you living by faith? And then in closing, God did something that Noah could never do. We were not saved by works, but are we living our lives with such a strain and trying to do this thing on our own? Our efforts weren't good enough to bring us to Christ. Our efforts are not good enough for us to live this Christian life. It's total dependence upon God. That's how Noah lived. He built the ark, and then he got in the ark. And God brought him out of the ark. Genesis 8, verse 1. "And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged." What are you fretting over today? What is it that you find yourself, you grit your teeth and you say, well, I can do it. No, you can't do it. Why does God bring us to places like that that are impossible and so difficult? To get us to the place that we realize we can do it and only He can. And by the way, when we step out in obedience by faith, as Noah did, God will do exactly what He said He would do.
Amen.
Just as He did for Noah. I was reading this the other day, and I'll finish with this. This really had an impact on my day. Me and the guys have been reading a book together called Abide in Christ. Somebody mailed it to me from England, and I've been reading it. And the author said this: remember, dear soul, how you were led contrary to all that your experience and your feelings and even your sober judgment said to take Jesus at His word, and how you were not disappointed. He did receive you. He did pardon you. He did love you. He did save you. And if He did that when you were an enemy and a stranger to God, what think you now that you are His own? Will He not much more fulfill His promise?
Amen.
When you were at enmity with God and He welcomed you, He called you to Himself, how much more?
Yes.
Now that we're His children, does He welcome us to Him? Does He bring us to Himself? Would you pray with me? Father, You have saved us by Your grace. We place our faith in You, but Lord, so often we neglect to live this way. Lord, maybe there's somebody here who doesn't know You as Savior to begin with, who does not know Christ. Lord, I pray that You would show them that they are a sinner and that You are the only way to have forgiveness of that sin. Or maybe there's a discouraged Christian here who just needed to be reminded that by Your grace and through faith in You, it is possible. Lord, I just want to praise You for dying for me. Lord, You gave Your life for me. The least I could do is give my life for You. In Christ's name I pray.
Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed.